your spirit in this room is overwhelming. The power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to each of us in community, even so more multiplied more. Lord, help us to see that and acknowledge it and to speak it and experience it. I thank you again, Lord, for the opportunity to grow in you in this class, to learn and learn and learn those things that we really need to know to live. I ask you to be with Larry as he brings the lessons this morning. Be with us as we hear. Give us each a message just for our own needs. Be with us in worship and as we go into our lives in the week. Lord, supply our needs according to your riches in Christ Jesus, I pray. In your name, amen.
Lights. Okay, I'm ready if you are. There we go.
To win his erring child.
Well, I don't know if I can go on teaching this lesson without some tears after that. That reminds me, we got to leave this plugged in because we're going to show another video. Short one. The desires of your heart, the meek shall inherit the earth. Uh-oh. Well, that's okay. Let's just leave it. Well, let me go to where I want to go, and then the technology won't be so confusing later. It's hard to keep these TVs going when nothing's going on with them. How shall the meek inherit the earth and the desires of your heart match up? And, you know, Jesus said in the Beatitudes, the meek, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And for years and years and years, long time ago, what do you mean? I'd say several years ago, he explained it to me, but I'll tell you the truth, the Lord has been working on me for about 3 or 4 weeks on this, up and even till this morning. And I've learned so much new stuff. I may not do all the lesson or do it exactly like it is. I feel the Holy Spirit doing this. Psalm 37. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight as to keep a loving relationship with the Lord. Yourself also in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him. You're going to have to do this.
Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him. And he shall bring it to pass. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more.
Huh?
Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace.
Okay, God is telling us that if we allow him to insert his desires into our heart, they will include inheriting the earth, or in other words, bringing people into his kingdom. And we'll explain that in a minute. Remember, in Psalms 2, well, here it says in Psalms 2:8, ask of me, and I will give you the nations. The word nations means human beings, if you look it up in the Strong. It doesn't mean geographical nations. It means human beings. Usually human beings that are not Jews, but it can include the Jews also. For your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. Here's where Jesus said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Jesus spoke this verse about meekness, and it seems to line up with Psalms 37. The first part in priority of the Lord's Prayer is about his kingdom coming to earth. Okay. Now we're talking about, you'll see as we talk about the meek inheriting the earth, it'll also be inheriting the nations. The definition's there. The earth is the inhabited earth, the abode of men and animals. I got this out of the Strong's Concordance. And the nations means heathen Gentile people, usually of non-Hebrew people, but also descendants of Abraham. The meek will bring unsaved people into the kingdom of God. Jesus is the model for this. What it says is that if you're meek, you'll bring people into the kingdom of God. And we're going to get deeper into that. Now, meekness is the same as gentleness, which is part of the fruit of the Spirit. So when I say meekness, it's part of the fruit of the Spirit because it's the same as gentleness. Okay? And we'll define that. Here's a definition of meekness. We understand that meek means the Greek word parousis and refers to mildness, gentleness of the Spirit, or humility. Other forms of this Greek word are used elsewhere in the New Testament, including James 1 and James 3. Meekness is humility towards God and towards others. Humility. It is having the right or the power to do something, but refraining from doing it. For the benefit of somebody else. And this usually includes when people rail at you, you're slow to speak and you don't answer. And I'll show you how that'll work.
It'll defeat demons if you do that. Paul urged meekness when he told us to live a life worthy of the calling we have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love, Ephesians 4. Meekness models the humility of Jesus Christ, as in Philippians 2, 6. It says, Jesus, look at this. Listen, he's the one in Genesis chapter 1 that said, earth be, light be. Nobody else could do that. All I see is a mess. Light be. Bang. Now, he's meek. He's gentle. He's the thing in the very nature. God did not consider equality, but God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even the death of a cross. Now that's humility. Being in the very nature of God. Jesus had the right to do whatever he wanted. But for our sake, he submitted to death on the cross. That's the ultimate in meekness. Now meek does not mean weak. Jesus is meek. Meek is like a strong horse who has been trained to obey its owner. Also, remember it's part of the fruit of the Spirit. So it's already inside of us. What we have to do, it's there. We can't make it happen, but we can erase our flesh that doesn't want it to happen. Amen? When we feel like talking back to somebody, we feel like ordering somebody around, we feel like defending ourselves when we're persecuted, take up your cross and shut up. And you'll see what happens. I'll show you what happens. Miracles will happen.
Larry, I have testimony that happens to me a lot. When I'm working at Walmart,
yeah.
I get frustrated with my supervisor or something. I just do what you said. I zip it up. And then all of a sudden, a few minutes later, it just seemed like a veil had been lifted over me.
Just a little side note here. Do the desires of your heart include your earthly needs met as well? Yes. In this manner, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. First is your kingdom come, thy will be done, earth as in heaven. But second to that is give us this day our daily bread. So God does want to take care of us. But first is we have to have the idea of getting his kingdom to come first, okay? Okay. Now I want to take something that's not in your lesson, so don't look for it. And what I'm about to tell you will be confirmed in this lesson. But I want to give you some people believe it, I want to give you some of the bottom lines. When you are meek and allow the other parts of the fruit of the Spirit to prevail, okay? Faith, love, joy, all that stuff. Righteousness will prevail in you. Is that right? It's like a candle inside of a glass cover. The candle inside of us is burning, but that glass cover may have some dirt on it, which is our flesh. We got to clean that up and let the light burn, okay? When you let righteousness prevail, I guarantee you will be attacked by persecution and other forms of satanic attacks. I guarantee you. When you let righteousness prevail, including meekness, you rest assured you will be attacked. But that will backfire because it's an ambush. Everybody say ambush. This is how Jesus ambushed Satan. Put him on the cross. He could have stopped. Pilate, Herod. Yes. Right? But Jesus wanted to inherit the people of the earth. So he let meekness prevail. Now listen. It is to ambush and bring the enemy at you in order that your meekness will inherit some souls for the kingdom of God. Jesus was the ultimate in meekness, and look at how he defeated the enemy in the heavenlies. Now, we do the same thing here on earth. Look at what it says here. As we read more later on in Psalms 37, it talks about the enemy attacking. I'm not sure how we'll probably get to that, but I want to give you a preview. Psalms 37 talks about the enemy of evil attacking you, but the meek. Evil attacking you again, but the meek shall inherit the earth. here comes evil again, but that makes you, so there's a process here. Satan's looking around for meek people. And what he wants, he's looking around for people. And what he wants to find is someone who's not meek, who'll start criticizing you, Elmer, falsely. And he wants you to defend yourself. No, you're wrong. But Elmer's going to be, let meekness prevail and keep his mouth shut and say, Larry, I love you anyway. And you know what's going to happen? Somebody's going to get saved. Have you got that? There's a formula here. It's all over the Bible. This is also not in your lesson. 1 Peter 3:15 to 17 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that's in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it's better if it's the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Yes, go ahead. That's a good question. What it means is sanctify the Lord as the of the, make the Lord the king in your heart.
Okay.
That's what it says.
Larry, may I say something?
I found that definition for me. I just didn't pick it up.
None of us can sanctify ourselves, but if we allow ourselves to get on our knees before the Lord and say, Lord, help me. I'm dealing with some real flesh here.
Yes.
Then His grace kicks in, and He begins to work, and He cleans up that globe that you're talking about.
He cleans up the globe.
He can't even do that to let the light shine.
But it's got to be our will to let Him clean it up.
He won't force Himself on us, but if we allow Him to, I mean, you know, the joy that He'll bring to us and what will happen to us is such a beautiful, beautiful.
This is painful. It's not easy. People will use surprising, Satan will use surprising people to persecute you. Even people in your own family.
Especially. Larry, I don't know exactly where you are in our lesson plan, but you just went sort of quickly through this part. Do the desires of your heart include your earthly needs as well? And you said yes.
Yes.
But I heard sort of a but in
well,
that.
Yeah. Because look at the...
But Matthew 6:33
says, you seek the kingdom
of God first.
First, and then...
As you seek the kingdom of God. As a matter of fact, it says there, in the after the Beatitudes, it says, when you seek the kingdom of God, you don't have to chase all those things the Gentiles chase.
And Larry, this works also with the devil telling you condemnation and criticizing.
Yes.
That you submit to the meekness of the Lord.
Yes. Yes.
Even to the devil and the demons that are criticizing
you. Sometimes it's harder to keep your mouth shut when somebody persecutes you or someone accuses you of false things. Okay. I've got a little true story, and I'm going to show it. It's about two little videos that are 4 minutes long. Here's what it is. Anybody ever heard of Little House on the Prairie? It used to be, Michael Landon used to have it on TV. Laura Ingalls Wilder wrote the book, Little House on the Prairie. It's a true story. True stories. And Carol and I bought hundreds of those DVDs. We've been watching them. And they're very, very...
Inspirational.
They're awesome. Let me read what this is going to be about. I took a little piece out of it. A true story and testimony. Bottom of page 2. My wife Carol and I saw from Little House on the Prairie recently a video. These videos are based on true stories from the late 1800s and recorded in her book by the same name. Laura Ingalls Wilder was the author, and she was the daughter in most of these stories. They continued and became, until she became an adult. Now, this particular version was about a little boy named Elmer. Sorry, Elmer. Who was part of a family that just moved to the town of Walnut Grove.
That's pretty
He was 10 to 12 years old and was a true and professing Christian, as was his family. Elmer was challenged with some issues and was sometimes slow to learn and had difficulty relating to others. Now, here's a boy whose family is a Christian. He has a beautiful heart. He has a hard time at school because he's kind of strange. Yeah, strange to them. Elmer had a beautiful heart. He pondered on important issues like helping others. These are the kind of children that get bullied in school. Elmer suffered that also. The bigger kids would throw him around and make fun of his meek and humble nature. He did not fight back or complain. He was very humble and just confessed his faith and refused to fight back. Listen to this. Here's his heart. He spent a lot of time at home at his father's barn caring for the chickens that were sick and feeble.
Merciful.
He would take the chickens that everybody else would kill, and he'd just nurse them back to health. His father knew that he was being abused in school and was very distraught. The teacher decided to hold an election for the class. But this is when the schools were one room and all the grades were in one room. They hold an election for the class to elect the class president, okay? A very proud girl, Nellie, decided how she would manipulate the class to elect her. One of the Ingalls' daughters, Mary, a very good girl, also agreed to run. But the bullies, listen to this, nominated Elmer to embarrass him. We nominate Elmer because we got a way to embarrass him. They made fun of him during the next few weeks and even physically attacked him. Elmer's mother made him a brand new shirt to wear for the election. Now, this was not easy back in those times because there wasn't much money. This was a big and expensive task. But his father, seeing the persecution, told Elmer that when he got to school the day of the election, that he should withdraw and not be a candidate for president because of the persecution. Are you with me? On election day, on the way to school, two much bigger bullies caught Elmer on the road and threw him into a filthy pig pen. He was covered with mud and slime, and his shirt was filthy. Elmer was the last one to come to class. Most of the kids laughed at him for looking so dirty. He stood in the back of the class and said he was withdrawing
from
class president.
I'm going to show these two things to you. The bullying and Elmer's speech. I don't think you have to turn the lights off. I don't believe. Can everybody see it? Is that okay? That's the album. Those are the bullies.
Hey, Elmer. See the new pig with the stints on? Cute as can be. One of them's got a bad leg, though. Think so? Maybe we ought to check on the way to school.
All right.
Seen him with a bad leg.
Well, take a closer look.
That's one of his new shirts.
Don't be late for school.
Okay, next. Here's when Elmer comes to school after being thrown in the pig pen.
If I win, cake and ice cream, all you can eat, and everyone who votes for me is invited. Thank you. Elmer! What happened?
kids enough, and I slipped and fell.
Did the other boys have something to do with this?
I can't say.
Emily, look, I want you to go home, clean up. You can come back and make your speech, and we'll vote this afternoon.
It's all right, Miss Beadle. I'm not running for nothing. My pa don't want me to. Besides, me running for class president, we all know that's a joke.
Class!
Go ahead and laugh. I know I'm not smart like you. I don't even know what a class president's supposed to do. But I know what's right and wrong. Right for big kids to be picking on little kids just because they think it's fun to hurt somebody. And it ain't right to give someone something to make them vote for you just because some folks got more money than others. It ain't right to make fun of people or push them in the mud to make them look silly. Made me this shirt because she loves me. You probably all think that's dumb, but that's what's wrong around here. People don't, they don't mind other people's carings. I hope whoever gets to be class president sees to it that the little kids aren't picked on or hurt, because it's not right. It's just not right.
Thank you, Elmer. Mary, this speech making is over.
I don't want to make a speech, Miss Beadle. I want to withdraw from the election. Anyone to vote for me. The best president this class could have is Elmer Dobkins. I know you're not supposed to run, but you have to. Because you're the only one that really knows what a president should do. I know your pa'd understand. Please, Elmer. Will you run? I think it's time to vote.
Those kids in that class turned to the Lord, even the bullies. Did you see their faces? Why? Somebody tell me why they turned to the Lord.
They were ashamed.
Because of what?
Because of what the young boy Elmer said.
What did it have to do with weakness? Meekness? Everything. Mm-hmm.
Well, they didn't get what they hoped to get by what they did.
Right.
They didn't get.
They didn't get what they hoped for.
But God got... God ambushed him. He got the whole class turned toward him. Even probably those boys were ashamed. That's what happens. Here's an example.
Yes, but he never said who did it.
He never said who did it. That's right, Rose. That's right. Hate to say anything after that. What a good example of this. Page 4. How does God make us meek? Colossians 3:12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on. Everybody say, put on. Tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long suffering. Put it on like clothing. Even though you already have it inside, you put it on by cleaning the glass like we were talking about. James 1:21, therefore put aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. So repenting for our sins and implanting the word of God. Another way to make us meek is breaking. As we go through life with difficulties and see how only God is able to bring us through, that causes us to discover how helpless we are. That brings us to meekness. Having disabilities that cause us to know our insufficiency also. Another way is offering ourselves a living sacrifice in Romans 12:1-2. Psalms 37 repeatedly speaks about the meek being persecuted by the wicked, but the meek shall inherit the earth. Verse 1, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like grass. When someone comes against you, when someone or some force comes against you, they will soon be cut down like grass. Now, would somebody please take that as a promise when you're persecuted? Trust the Lord, do good, dwell in the land, and feed his faithfulness. Verse 4, delight yourself also in the Lord, he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust him, and he shall bring it to pass. Page 5. Verse 6. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath, do not fret, it only causes harm. God does not ask us to envy other people. Ask us to not envy other people, who may look like they're prospering. He warns us many of these people are evil. Verse 9, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait in the Lord shall inherit the earth. Here you go again. If you don't get angry, if you don't pay back your enemies, you will inherit the earth like Elmer did. You'll inherit people. People will come into the kingdom. Maybe in your realm of influence like Elmer's, maybe not. Maybe in China. And you've never been to China. But look at the satanic attacks against the meek. Verse 12. The wicked plots against the just and gnashes at him with his teeth. Pastor Russ, you've been teaching about spiritual warfare for a long time. The wicked plots against the just, doesn't he? The Lord laughs at it. What does he do? The Lord laughs at satanic attacks. We need to laugh at them also, no matter how bad they feel. For he sees that his day is coming. When you have a horrible attack, you'll know for you can laugh because it feels bad at that time, but you know for sure that he'll be cut down. The wicked have drawn the sword, bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, to slay those who are upright of conduct. Isn't that what those bullies did to Elmer? Their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bow shall be broken. It's an ambush, it's a payback. A little that the righteous man has is better than the riches of the wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, in the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall, say this with me, but the wicked shall perish. Everybody, but the wicked shall perish. And the enemies of the Lord, like the splendor of the meadows, shall vanish into smoke and vanish away. The wicked borrows and does not repay, but the righteous shows mercy and gives. For those blessed by him shall inherit the earth. Here's the evil people coming against us. But what's the result? We inherit people. Are you with me? It's very clear. It's a real big deal to hang on to this. Sometimes it's better than preaching the gospel. Matter of fact, you can't really preach the gospel good unless you're meek. Then look at how God defeats your enemies while you're committed to inheriting the earth. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I've been young and now old. I've not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. He's ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed. Depart from evil and do good, dwell forevermore. Do good and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever. But the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit. There's the land again. Inherit. Promise after promise after promise. Warfare, inherit. Warfare, inherit. Meek, inherit. Warfare, be meek, inherit. Got that? Verse 30. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of justice. The law of God is in his heart, none of his steps shall slide. But here come the wicked again. Verse 32. The wicked watches the righteous and seeks to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, for he shall exalt you to... What? Somebody say, what's it say in verse 34? He shall exalt you to do what?
Inherit.
Inherit people. Inherit souls for the kingdom of God. That they don't have to go to hell. All right? Next time you feel like talking back to someone that persecutes you, say, wait a minute, I want this person to go to hell. Know the people around him. Know the people that sent him. He will exalt you and inherit the land. And when the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. I've seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a native green tree. And he passed away. He was no more. Indeed, I sought him, but he could not be found. To conclude here, stay clean before God. Allow him to make you meek. You shall be used to bring in his kingdom. God will insert his desires into your heart to bring in his kingdom. Your enemies will challenge you, but God will defeat them and actually use their attacks against them. Paul said to the Ephesians that he suffered so they would receive the glory of God or God's inheritance. Ephesians 3:13. Therefore I ask you, do not lose heart at my tribulations, which is your glory. The rest of Psalms 37. Mark the blameless land and observe the upright, for the future of that man is peace, but the transgressors shall be destroyed forever together. The future of the wicked shall be cut off, but the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is a strength in time of trouble, and the Lord shall help and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. Carol, you want to say something? Anybody else want to add something here? Yes.
Thank you, Larry. As we have studied this thing, I've been thinking about the world around us and how corrupt it is. We can see it every day. And as we've read scriptures in the past, maybe even this scripture, this passage of scripture, something within us yearns to see the deliverance from that corruption. And I just want to tell you that I believe that something is about to take place in this world. And we're going to see God at work. I don't know how he's going to do it, but I think we'll be able to see this in our lifetime. And that gives me joy to anticipate something that God is going to do in this world in keeping with the scripture.
I've got a few pages here that I'm going to leave back. You want to pick some up? I'm going to read one more little thing. There's a single page back here. When you leave, you can take one if you like it. It's not in your lesson. It's a quote from Watchman Nee, the Joyful Heart devotion. Matthew 21:5. It says, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. Watchman Nee said, the Lord Jesus charges us to be meek. How meek was he himself? To show that his kingship is not based on arrogance, but lowliness, he chose to ride upon a donkey. During his earthly life, he could be easily approached and readily talked to. So should we be. A Christian should not be aloof, but easily accessible in his personal relations. To be meek in disposition is to be self, everybody self, say self-controlled. Not easy all the time. Slow to speak. If something hurts, if something angers you, remember, be slow. Everybody say, slow to speak.
Slow to speak.
Count to 10 before you answer anything. And then say, God, I don't know what I'm supposed to say, but I don't want to say the wrong thing because I want to be meek. We will not lose our temper. Kindness is the most delicate of human emotions. Rudeness and loss of temper, the most ill-mannered. The Son of God was never rude. He did not show arrogance nor seek recognition in high places. He lived humbly on the earth, and God's will for us is that we should do the same, following our humble Lord in his pathway of meekness. And it says that Joseph was meek, or at least he became meek. And ambushes in Psalms 37. God's desire becomes yours. The enemy attacks, but only makes you meek. And people can say, look what happened to Joseph when he finally got to Egypt. He didn't defend himself when he was called, when that woman accused him of, falsely accused him when he was falsely thrown. He didn't defend himself. What's the opposite? Some of the things that are the opposite of meekness, and I'll close with this. Pride, control, manipulation, bragging, blaming, fear, to be out of control. In other words, if I don't do this, I won't get results. Also, not trusting God for results, not staying in the truth. Faith releases all that control.
Larry. I've got copies of this.
I've been trying to get this together in my brain. Sometimes the judgments or the accusations or the mistreatment that we suffer are people who misconstrue our motives.
That's it. That's it.
And that is indefensible, because how are you going to prove your motive? You can't.
Exactly.
You cannot prove that your motive was pure and good.
No.
And so you are caught in a bind, I'll say.
You're speaking personally.
That you have no recourse.
That's right.
So the only recourse you have is meekness.
That's right.
Because what you're accused of, if it goes to motive, there is no defense.
You got that right. That's a big deal, the motive. I didn't mean that.
Yes, you did.
And then it gets worse. Then they find it gets worse. Yes, Rose.
I know all of you know as I know. But when I respond to anything, it's not what the other person has said to me, but over and over it's what I said to them. So it's just better for me not to say anything. So I shared this in the class one morning, Russ and Barbara's class. She said, when you don't say anything, you did. You said something.
That's right.
And I really didn't want to share this, but the Lord had been talking to me a lot.
I have a picture that I keep on my prayer table. And many in this room know that couple very well. And it's Bud and June Runyon.
Who?
Bud and June Runyon. And from time to time, I look at that and pray that we can continue to fulfill their heart for others. They had such love in their heart to give whatever to help the needy. And so sometimes when I'm praying, I see them. I see them walking on that path. And I see them, and I talk to God about it. And I said, you know, they were like little lambs, Father, that loved you and were there together. Now, how did this happen? Why? And we need them here. We need people like them here on this earth. And he'll talk to me about it and help me pray. But this past week when I was talking to him, it has a lot to do kind of like what we were saying. He said, Faye, would you pray for that one's soul? And I knew he was talking about the one that pulled the gun and shot them and killed them. And I said, well, yes, but he deserves to pay for my friends that were your children, that were good, loving people. He says, I just said, would you pray for his soul? Now, God is the judge, and he will make sure. But it is a lot like that meek place that we have to bow down, even no matter how someone we love is being persecuted, to let God pray for their souls.
Go ahead and close the
place. Abba, Father, we love you. We love you, and we thank you for your extravagant love for us. We thank you for grace. We thank you for grace every day. Your mercy and your grace and your faithfulness new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And as we sing today and we listen today and we listen out through this week, what you would speak to us, how to embrace meekness, how to embrace it. to allow you to produce your fruit through us. The fruit of the Spirit that's love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. We thank you for Larry. We ask you to bless Larry and Carol and equip him and continue to use as you just downpour into him, Father God, to share your heart for meekness, your heart for who we are in you. And what I kept hearing off and on all morning is for us to know our identity that you put on us, that you say who we are, that you are the one that gives us to be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that you're the one that calls us into meekness. You're the one that calls us to be the ones that we can say, even when the devil or the demons or others persecute us, that we know who we are in you, and you in us, Christ in us, the hope of glory, the joy and the meekness that you lay down, even as Larry mentioned, the king did not take Jesus' life. He said, you do not take my life.
Amen.
I lay it down. And so, Lord, we choose this morning to submit and surrender and allow your fruit to be produced in us and trim us and prune us and help us. We thank you for souls, as we've mentioned over and over again. We can't take anything from this world, but we can take the souls that you have allowed us to bring into your kingdom, Father God. So we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for helping us in persecution, to help us to be still and know that you are God, and to be silent, to rest in you, to trust you, to be in your word, so that we will know to speak, even on those things that come against us, your word, and rest in it, Lord. We give you praise and we give you honor. We thank you for going before us before we go into the praise and worship. We come to adore you. We thank you for the freedoms of coming to your house freely. Oh, Heavenly Father, help us never to take that for granted, that we come freely to this house today to worship you, to honor you. Bless Pastor Mark and those that are speaking and the worship team. And Lord, we ask you to help us throughout this week to be those that humble ourselves, to surrender, to be meek, to allow you to make your meekness be produced in us and through us. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.